Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the Rate Bowl Preview Edition as your Golden Gophers have traveled out to Phoenix and they're going to be taking on the fighting Richard Pitino's, Jason X. That is the New Mexico Lobos of the Mountain West Conference. I will be heading out there in just a couple of days, maybe about the time you're listening to this. You are on a Sun Country or a Delta flight heading out to Phoenix to come hang out with me, come hang out with other Gopher fans, get out of the cold, get into the sun. But Luke, when you heard that New Mexico was going to be the opponent for this game, did you immediately think of the man that gave you a tattoo on your right bicep? That is Richard Pitino, you Gopher basketball rube.
I did not think of Richard Pitino first. I know I've gotten in the comments, people don't love the stories and the shenanigans we get into. They just want us to get into the content. But prior to Richard Pitino being hired, or he had just been hired at Minnesota, he hadn't actually coached a game yet, but he had just been hired. I was out in the greater Seattle area for a regional, and Louisville was playing in that regional at the time. We were walking around Key Arena. I saw him. I was wearing a Gopher sweatshirt, and I went over. We walked past each other. I gave him a high five, and he's like, "I didn't know there were Gopher fans out here." And I told them, "Well, I'm actually from Minnesota." So, yeah, it was a really weird freak encounter. But even before he had coached a game, chatted a little bit with him, was excited for him to come. I thought it was fun. I didn't love the style of basketball he brought, but it was very fun, especially that year that, you know, they went top four in the Big Ten. They were a 5 seed, lost in the NCAA tournament. And then he will have given me something that no one else could have. He won an NCAA tournament game on the day that my son was born, or the day after my son was born. And I watched that, and I held my, at that point, like hours old son while they won that NCAA tournament game. So forever indebted to Richard Pitino for that one day.
I would imagine everybody knows this, but I want you to tell people, you also do another podcast, because we talk about Parent Affair enough, but you are the Gopher basketball rube.
I love
season tickets. You follow that much closer than I do, and you actually have a podcast with another Ryan who works at GI.
Yeah, so Ryan James and I have for years. It is not as consistent as this podcast, but we have a podcast called Talk Gopher Buckets. It's fun. Ryan is a hoot. And it's fun to talk through Gopher basketball. I think the format of football probably lends a little bit better to podcasting than basketball does. There is a great, if you're a Timberwolves fan, Dane Moore does an excellent podcast, on basketball. He does it very frequently. I've always enjoyed listening to him through the years as well. I don't know if there are other Gopher basketball podcasts. We might be the only one. If anybody else has one, I'd be interested to potentially listen, but I haven't been looking out for it. But there are some good other basketball podcasts, mostly all Wolves focused. Crunch Wears No Pants is a pretty good one too. It's
No Pants. What a name.
If you hear the name, you can probably get the vibe of that podcast. It's pretty awesome.
I hope the breakdown edition of this podcast is Ryan Wears No Pants, because I will keep the offer on the table
that
Coy Parrish houses one in the bowl game, I am more than happy to get kicked out of the Chase Field press box.
I will literally
take off the pants in the press box to see something the Gophers have not done in the lifetime of Luke Buer's children. And considering they can hold full conversations with me now, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, that's good. Okay.
The only news I do want to get to before we get into this and just the normal flow of it is news is starting to kind of trickle out about some staff changes.
Yeah.
Since we last recorded, and if you haven't kind of caught up already, we did do an episode of which for episode 400, Luke,
this is it.
This is it. So I figure I only can fit in the phrase of which so many times into a podcast, and I'm just going to really lean into it on this one just to make everybody in the comments mad. But with the Gophers now out in Phoenix, things are starting to trickle out about staff changes where I don't know that I've ever covered a program where you fire one guy on the defensive staff and then see a different guy from that same defensive staff get hired as a Big Ten defensive coordinator.
Definitely an eyebrow raiser for sure. I was like, what?
It's leaning into, well, this was really bad, but this was really good. But the Gopher defense was somewhere. It's certainly in the middle. I'd call them average. But Dennis Dotton Carter gets fired. And I have reported, and I think Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press was the first one to put it out there into the Twitter sphere. We talked about it. I will say Sunday morning in my December notes, they're back, Luke. And it pains all of my existence that I have to do daily notes almost at this point.
Yeah.
But I know it's one of the favorite features of all you listeners and readers on Gopher Illustrated, where with the portal opening and now in less than 2 weeks, Minnesota has a lot of holes to fill. Minnesota is also in the midst of negotiations with their own players. By the time you are listening to this too, I expect some top players to announce their intentions. And I think that's going to be in a positive way, but I don't want to steal that away. Just know I've got stories ready to go for when these guys do announce. But with Dennis Dotton Carter being fired on the defensive line, the Gophers have elected to promote their rush ends coach, CJ Robbins, who is a 2015 graduate of Northwestern. Is this where I get to say, as a 33-year-old man, I feel old that now there's multiple defensive coaches that are the same age as me, where Danny Collins, the defensive coordinator, is within, I think, 6 months of me age-wise. CJ Robbins, I think, is around the same thing. And that's where the 33-year-old gets elevated from working with guys like Carter Menz, working with guys like Jackson Howard, to he gets to now give the responsibilities away of the rush ends and take over the entire defensive line. Mm-hmm. Now, I think some of that is because of my favorite assistant salary pool. I think some of it is Fleck wants to keep continuity, and he loves to promote from within. I think both of those things go hand in hand.
I think both can be true as well, right?
Yes, multiple things can be true. Now, it's what percentage do you put into why and how these things go. But I will say I've heard a lot of good things about Robbins, very high energy, very detailed. I know that he's been the one running the defensive line overall here in bowl prep, and I've heard some very good things about that. So hopefully that shows up on the December 26th with the Gopher defensive line showing up like they did at home. But I am reporting that he's going to take over. And that means with Kevin Kane also, who is a special assistant slash nickel slash outside linebacker coach, I will say the primary goal for Kevin Kane on the staff last year, and by last year, 2025, was to provide guidance for a first-year defensive coordinator in Danny Collins to help him with game plan, help him with those type of decisions. Number two on that list, or even maybe 1B, was to provide guidance for Mariano Sorry-Marin in his first year as a linebacker position coach. And then he also did do some things with nickels and outside linebackers. But it's not every day, Luke, you see him get fired from being the Purdue defensive coordinator in 2024 under Ryan Walters, to then get, after a gap year here at Minnesota, get rehired by Purdue. Now, a completely different coaching staff with Barry Odom, but it is fascinating how the coaching carousel spins. You just never know what's going to happen. I will say that with those two positions open, AKA Danny Collins' advisor, who has done it for a long time, called games before, helps with game plan, plus the rush ends coaching position for guys like Carter Menz, Jackson Howard, and others. I do expect both of those hires to be outside the organization hires, and we'll see what happens after the bowl game on different sides of the football. But it is fascinating to see that as we continue to get closer and closer to the bowl game, the flag I have planted and I will continue to remain behind it is I think there is going to be more staff changes coming. Now, Fleck can prove me wrong. I feel like I've talked to enough people to believe what I believe, and we'll see if I get egg on my face. Like, my name is Muhammad Ibrahim, and the year is, 2019. Or for those of you who have been here a long time and still come up to me on Oak Street, or I'm sure I'll see some of you in Phoenix who bring up the name Hank Epke. That'll be another one I'll never be able to escape, but that's going to be my new one. Is if I miss on this, I miss on this, but I just believe what I believe, Luke. And it is the season where we got to believe that jolly man from the North Pole is going to deliver.
All right. Good stuff. I do want to remind you that when I saw the news, which probably was way too late, that Kane was going back to Purdue, I didn't text you anything other than, do you think Kevin Kane has whiplash? What a turn of events for him. Good for him, though.
I think he sold his house in West Lafayette is my question.
Oh, real? Oh, do you have any insight to that? That's pretty funny, actually, if he did.
Just knowing how some of these guys operate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he never sold his house. He just let whoever on the new Purdue staff was just rent it out.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure. I'll have to check on that, but that'd be my guess.
That's actually the kind of Twitter account that you should run, Ryan, is like,
did this coach sell his house? How intrusive can I be? Let's find out.
But just like the weirdisms that might exist as a function of coaching, because they're all changing jobs so frequently. Yeah. Let's get into this game. I think we should put a little preamble ahead of the game and say that this is an exhibition game, really, right? It will go on for the 2025 season, but I do like how Fleck has mentioned, I think at times before, that this is really kind of the first step into the 2026 season, unless you're in the playoff. I'm not trying to downplay bowl games because I think they're super fun. They're great for TV ratings. They are an engine that helps the conferences in general and just athletic departments thrive. But in the same way, I don't look at them as the same as the 2025 season, but it is still fun. And a lot of times, I remember back to the Jerry Kill days, Ryan, where they said red shirts shouldn't count in this game. This was before the 4-game red shirt rule. And, right. Because it is, it's so unique. You have players that aren't going to play because they have entered the transfer portal, or have intentions to enter the transfer portal. You might have folks that are going on to the NFL draft. There's all sorts of weird that surround bowl games. So Ryan, just to get into this game against New Mexico, we aren't going to talk just about injuries. We needed to hear about some weirdisms. What weirdisms should we expect, maybe, or might you predict going into this bowl game with the Lobos?
And welcome to who's playing and who's not. And we're not going to know definitively until 2 hours ahead of time. Now, I've had enough conversations with people behind the scenes over the last couple of weeks in Dinkytown to have a much better idea than the normal person. But let's start on the New Mexico side of things, where maybe the most impressive thing that I did here this month was find a very good New Mexico Lobos football beat writer. And that's where I talked to Sean Ryder of the Albuquerque Journal about said things. And so I was like, okay, well, what's the injury report / opt-out situation? And he was telling me that the starting offensive lineman, Richard Pierce, for them, who's their right guard and also a team captain, has been away from the team because of a personal matter. It's unknown if he's rejoined since then, but if they're without their starting right guard, that's going to be a good thing for Devin Eastern, Anthony Smith and company. They're also going to be without their starting corner, Abraham Williams, who's out with injury. They haven't had a lot on the opt-out side other than a couple of special teams players where Minnesota, you can say the same thing outside of that, where there's already 13 guys who have announced their intentions. On the Gopher side of things, where I'll remind people that the Gopher receiving room is going to look a lot different, where Kenrick Lanier has announced his intentions to hit the portal. He has not been with the team. Malachi Coleman, I reported that he is not with the team. He is intending to hit the portal. He's not going to play in this game. You're also, I believe, going to be without Lemeke Brockington for this game, who I will put this disclaimer here. I don't give advice, and no one asks my advice from Dinky Town. I assure you of that. They tell me all the time how I have no idea what I'm talking about. But Lamecki put on social media that he's announced his intentions to go to the NFL and be a part of the NFL draft. I think it's great to have dreams and aspirations. I think it's great. I think Lamecki Brockington was one of my favorite players to cover here in the last few years because he has a contagious smile. His teammates love him. He actually gives good quotes. Like, from the media side, that's great. But I don't believe that Lamecki Brockington is going to play in this game. So I don't know why, considering he just had his best season. And by his best season, he caught 46 passes for 484 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, he was the leading receiver, and that's great. But also, I think you can put a little bit more on tape. So we'll see if I'm right. We'll see if I'm wrong on that. But that would mean your top three of your top six receivers are not going to play in this game. Now, I do anticipate Jalen Smith. I do anticipate Javon Tracy, Logan Loya. The thing I am going to be curious about is a couple things. Do we see some of the younger guys, like, say, Bradley Martino, get a role in this game? Do we see Greg Harbaugh elect to use Darius Taylor as more of a pass catcher in this game, where you flex him out wide to mitigate some of the snaps that you need to have other guys play? Or one that I'm really intrigued by is, with an extra month to essentially prepare for the Fighting Richard Pitinos that is New Mexico Lobos, is Coy Parrish going to have his biggest offensive role of the season, where we could see him push 15, 20 snaps on offense? I think in bowl games, it's okay to get weird, especially if you've got a lot of time to prepare, where Coy can then do what he needs to do on defense, offense, and special teams. Really accentuate him that way. See if he can't go out there and be the Rape Bowl MVP by the end of it too. But who is catching passes in this game is fascinating to me. Other than that, I think maybe the most important thing too is, I think everybody else is going to be playing, from what I understand. Darius Taylor is healthy. He's going to be playing. Drake Lindsey, Nathan Roy, Greg Johnson. I'm not going to name every single player, but guys like Kerry Brown. I will be very curious if Aiden Goosby is at corner like he was against Wisconsin. I would absolutely, without question, keep him there. The star of the Wisconsin game too, John Nestor, I anticipate him playing. Maverick Baranowski announced he's going to be back. I think outside of potentially Lamecki Brockington, Minnesota is going to be pretty much at full capacity to what they were, but that receiving room as a whole is going to look a little bit different for Drake Lindsey and company.
All right. We good to get to the offensive preview when the Gophers are on offense?
Sure.
All right. So on the season, Minnesota averaged 23.3 points per game. New Mexico averages giving up 22.5 points per game. In terms of total offense, Minnesota averages 296 yards of total offense, where New Mexico gives up 349 yards of total offense. If you look at the rushing offense, Minnesota is averaging 103 yards per game, and New Mexico is giving up 113 yards per game. And if you look at passing yards, Minnesota is averaging 193 yards through the air, and New Mexico is giving up 236. If you look at the takeover or the turnover margin, Minnesota,
I like the takeover margin,
the takeover margin, the takeover over giveaway. there you go. Minnesota is a +7. New Mexico, as Ryan pointed out in our last episode, was a -6. They had 16 takeaways and 22 giveaways, where conversely, Minnesota had 15 takeaways and 8 giveaways in this game. If you look at the time of possession, both are about 30 minutes a game, so really no difference kind of in approach. If you look at penalties, for instance, I think this is always interesting in bowl games because you can kind of throw it out the window because it's been so long since teams play. I feel like penalties are normally up, but the Gophers average, they were actually first in the Big Ten in this, and they were averaging, oh, I'm sorry, they were 14th in the Big Ten. I said that wrong again. I'm struggling today, Ryan. My bad.
You're out of practice. I can tell.
Yeah, they were second in the Big Ten, 3 penalties per game, and New Mexico was averaging about 5 penalties per game. So, or I should say more like 6 if we're going to round. all in all, Ryan, I think that this Lobo defense is probably pretty solid. They have a low points per game average, but very curious to see what you think the Gophers are going to have to do to find success against the Lobos.
Well, the Lobos defense, I will say, is led by a name that maybe some people know listening to the podcast. His name is Spence Nowinski. He's a guy that went to Minnesota State Mankato, played there, coached there, got his start there more or less, and really worked his way up the ladder to where he was, from what the way I understand it, was a candidate to take over the Gopher defense in the last couple of years, where I think Fleck even got an interview with him. So he's a guy that is from around here. I think he's from just across the border. I think it's Hatley, Wisconsin, wherever that is. I'm going to assume somewhere near the Dells for those of you out there. But it's a defense that I'm chuckling because the Gopher offense, I ain't going to tell you it was good this year. Okay. Ain't nobody going to try to sell you a bag of goods like that. But this is not, in theory, the week that Minnesota is going to get the run game going because this is the number one run defense in the Mountain West against FBS opponents. And the Gophers were the worst run offense in the Big Ten. Now, why are they so good defensively? Some of it's their defensive coordinator scheme, but they've also got two first team all Mountain West guys, including the Mountain West co-defensive player of the year in head coach Jason Eck's son, Jaxton, which is, I feel like I'm watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with a name like that. Look, ridiculous names get ridiculous reactions, and that's a hill I'm going to die on. So if your kid's name something odd, I'm going to make fun of you for it. But Jaxton Eck is one of the best linebackers in the Mountain West. He is a sideline-to-sideline guy. He is the green dot player who calls the defense. He's outstanding at what he does, but the player I'm more worried about than him is your guy, Keyshawn James Newby, who is the best edge in the entire Mountain West. He is number one, not just in Luke Buehr's heart, but in terms of jersey number. But he also led the Mountain West in pressures with 63, hurries with 45, and sacks. He was the leading sack man in the Mountain West. So the Gopher offensive line, a.k.a. Nathan Roy and Dylan Ray, because 98% of his snaps were outside of the offensive tackle, they have to know where number one is at all times. If you can do that, that's where we get into my more so game theory aspect of this game, which is, Luke, we've seen between the gap between the group of five and the power five, I believe, continues to get a little bit bigger every year.
Yes.
And we've seen your Washington team absolutely run it over and truck what was a good Boise State. Mountain West team. We saw Oregon absolutely destroy James Madison when they wanted to. We saw Tulane and Ole Miss. We saw how that went. So the question is, as we've seen in previous bowl games under PJ Fleck against non-Big Ten or Power 2 opponents, do you believe that the much maligned Minnesota Moving Company up front, where I do expect Tony Nelson to remain the starter at right guard, that is largely going to be intact against the number one Mountain West run defense, do you expect by the third and fourth quarter that they will do what they've done to many opponents of yesteryear that aren't in the Big Ten and just wear them down?
You know, it's interesting you say that. It harkens back to that first game of the season against Buffalo, right? Where, you know, the Gophers, for anything, were going to run the ball. And they, what did they kill, like 6 or 7 minutes and then didn't end up scoring, but they ran it, you know, consistently to kind of prove that point that they could close out a game.
How far ago does that drive against Buffalo the amount of consternation from fans about that one? And then they ended up, and then Darius gets hurt on the first drive in the next game and isn't to be seen. And just 'tis the season for Darius Taylor, but yeah, go on. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No.
I'm reminiscing on the season that was. Tis the holidays.
The point is, it'd be quite the bookend to the season, right? Is if you do what PJ wants to do, but you didn't really, he wasn't able to do it all season in between those two games, basically, right? You know, they had to throw a lot. It will be interesting to see if they are able to out-physical an opponent like this. I agree with you. that I think the margin is definitely widening between, you know, the Power Four and the Group of Five. But in the same respect, like, the Lobos are no slouch. Like, if you look at their defensive success and their EPA margin, like, they're really good. They don't give up a lot of explosive plays, especially if you look at their EPA per rush. They rank 39th in the country, EPA per dropback 41st. They're just not giving up a lot of explosive plays. So you've got to be consistent to be able to score on them. And it will be interesting to see. That is where the Gophers at times have not been very good, is being very consistent as an offense, you know, through a long drive. So very curious to see how the Gophers respond and what approach they take.
The only other thing I'll note offensively before we can switch is Darius Taylor is healthy, which means Darius Taylor in bowl games is another narrative I love to walk down.
Sure.
We've seen in bowl games for PJ Fleck, he's a well aware of single season records or just narratives in general. He loves to, just like I do, take a little stroll down narrative street. And that's where Darius Taylor in bowl games is averaging 30 and a half touches per game. And he has gone nuclear in the last two bowl games, averaging on those 61 touches, 5.7 yards per touch. Like, my man is putting up 150, 175 on average yards per game. And in a game that he's had a lot of time to prepare for, get his body right for, has been taking hits, I expect Minnesota to load up Darius Taylor, and the hope would be if I get to see a healthy Darius Taylor for all 60 minutes, I find it hard to believe Darius doesn't get 25 touches for 175 yards and hopefully a couple of touchdowns, but I've been wrong before, and as Luke Buehr will tell you, I will be wrong again.
All right, last for you. Were the Gophers, Ryan, very good in short yard line or goal line situations this year?
I know they definitely weren't to start the year, which was the bane of my existence, just like many fans, when they were going shotgun third and fourth and short, which I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed as your people. I think, what was it, Smash Mouth that said that? Are you old enough to know who Smash Mouth is?
I do. I know who they are. They're quite the all-star band.
What an elite reference. Look at us. The millennials in us. I don't believe they ended up being great there, but you tell me.
97th, according to CFB graphs in the country in short yard line or short yardage and goal line situations. But what I find interesting is that New Mexico is 130th. So can the Gophers find some success in short yard line or short yardage and goal line situations? Man, I cannot say that today. Words are hard today. But yeah, in general, that's one thing that I'm looking at. But if you look at New Mexico, is just very good against yards before contact, yards after catch. You know, they're very good at that. So very curious to see how this Gopher offense is able to maneuver and find some success. It'll be very interesting to watch. We'll catch a quick break, come back and talk some defense. Ryan, I don't know if you noticed, but all of a sudden it's already November, and you know what that time is. It's open enrollment time. So while you're thinking about life insurance, or I shouldn't say life insurance, health insurance, looking at maybe making a change there, you know, this is a good time to also think about your auto, home, life, all maybe your ATV insurance, boat insurance, and the Burns Insurance Agency can help you shop during that open enrollment period.
I mean, absolutely. And that's where the independent insurance agent himself, that is the Burns Insurance Agency, located in lovely downtown Oakdale, Minnesota. For myself as a client, I've talked about this story before, but we had a hailstorm come through here in Roseville. And initially when the adjuster came out, he told me to go shove it, that there wasn't enough damage. Well, guess what? My insurance agent came out with our own roofing people, took the quality photos, said, nah, we're not going to shove it. And I got a brand new roof out of it for only my deductible. And it's because my insurance agent puts in the extra effort. You're not just a number on a spreadsheet. Or even, I love to tell the story last year of Austin coming up to me on Oak Street before the Gopher game and saying, hey, he and Tina, they saved you $700. Appreciate it. Well, he found me here just a few weeks ago. Guess what? They switched him to a different insurance here in 2025, saved him $1,000. On his home and auto. That is the beauty of an independent insurance agent. They're not loyal to anyone except their client, which is you. So If you want to give them a shout today, shoot them an email, bill@insurancebyburns.com, or check them out online, insurancebyburns, all one word, .com.
Hey, if you have tickets to a Gopher event and you aren't able to make it, because let's be honest, this is a very busy time of year. The holidays are around. We've got lots of activities for kids or what have you, family gatherings, etc. Maybe you can't make a Gopher game. And hey, maybe you want to support Dinkytown athletes. Please check out eVenture. eVenture is going to help you find people to take those tickets. They're going to take that burden off of you, and we're going to move those tickets as quickly as we can. So eVenture is going to give a portion of the proceeds to Dinkytown athletes, and frankly, the most important thing is that those tickets should be used, and they will be used by Gopher fans because they'll be supporting Dinkytown athletes. So if you have tickets available, please consider donating them. Go to eventshure.com and share tickets or instructions there. Or if you're looking for some tickets for an upcoming event, we do have a limited inventory right now. Please check that out. Again, eventshure.com. Okay, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, the Gophers are giving up 23.4 points per game. New Mexico is averaging 27.9 points per game. Minnesota's defense is giving up 342 yards of total offense. New Mexico is averaging 369 yards of total offense. The Gophers are giving up 121 yards on the ground, and New Mexico is averaging 155 yards on the ground. In terms of passing yards per game, the Gophers are giving up 220 yards through the air, and conversely, New Mexico is averaging 214 yards through the air. We talked already about time of possession and turnover margin. Maybe something to look at here for third down offense in for the Lobos, they're averaging about 38% success rate, where the Gophers are giving up about a 39% success rate on third downs. It will be interesting, Ryan, to watch this game unfold. I think that it's safe to say that the quarterback is always going to be potentially the X factor. And if you look at Jake Lane, he completed 65% of his passes for almost 2,400 yards and 13 touchdowns. So he's a dual threat as well. So what do you think the Gophers are going to have to do to be able to stop this Lobo offense and Jack Lane?
I was going to say, is Jake Lane his brother, his cousin? Because it is Jack Lane.
It is the quarterback. Yep, it is Jack Lane. I can't read again.
Look, I know that the public school system for you in Wilmer, Minnesota, wasn't up to the snuff that it was in ISD 622 and Maplewood, Oakdale. And it's not your fault.
Concentrate. You know, I can't be multitasking as much as I am. I'm not as good as the female sex. So
I feel like we can explore that in therapy later this week. But
thank you.
Yeah, the Lobo offense is one that led by Jack Lane. He is very good at running what the offense is. Now, he is one of, I'd say, top four quarterbacks that the Gophers have faced this year in terms of his ability to scramble. Because you look at his non-sack yardage, he's got 300 rushing yards this year, including four touchdowns. So there is a lot with his legs that you have to account with. Plus, they use a different quarterback, number 13, your guy James Lobstein, who is actually fourth on the team in rushing, who when he comes in the football game, if you see number 13 out there for New Mexico, he has played 54 snaps, and on 45 of them, he has taken the ball and run with it. Now, he's been pretty damn good with it. He's averaging 7 yards per carry. He's run for 313 yards. They do two quarterback systems and short yardage, green zone, red zone situation, stuff like that. But what Lane does a good job of is just running the offense to what it is. Now, pass catcher-wise, I will tell you they have one of the better tight ends that the Gophers have seen all year, a first-team All-Mountain West guy in Dorian Thomas. He, I believe, is second on the team in targets. He had 53 receptions, which led all Mountain West tight ends. And their leading receiver is one that maybe a college football rube is going to recognize, Keegan Johnson, who I believe played at the University of Iowa before transferring out. He leads them in receptions. He leads them in receiving yards. A bigger body, a guy that likes to stretch the field, 6'1", 200 pounds. those are the two you have to keep an eye on. Now, running the football wise, they're going to use kind of a three-headed attack. They had three different tailbacks get anywhere between 78 and 108 carries. I mean, you've got a speed guy, you've got a power guy, you got a guy who can do a little bit of both. Plus, there were injuries for them at different points this year. But the thing to note about the New Mexico offense that I'm watching specifically is they are horrific at holding on to the football.
Yes.
They lost a Mountain West worst 13 fumbles this year. That was second worst of all 136 FBS teams. That is not just the tailbacks. That's also the quarterback, Jack Lane, who I believe lost three different fumbles this year. Now, on the flip side is, what Gopher defense are we going to see? Because I know the one that, when I had to travel to road games like some of you, never showed up. The Gopher defense away from Huntington Bank Stadium this year wasn't good, and I think that's putting it kindly. They had two takeaways in five games. They allowed a 53.4 third down conversion rate, which was third worst in the conference. They allowed 38 points per game, which was the worst of any Big Ten team on the road this year. They also made any opposing quarterback look like Fernando Mendoza in terms of a Heisman Trophy winner. Now, the matchup to watch is just like we talked about on the offensive side of the ball. This is not an impressive New Mexico offensive line. It isn't. I looked at the PFF stuff, specifically their right tackle stinks, Tyler Lawrence. He is the link that Minnesota should attack. His 27 pressures are, he has allowed 27 pressures from his right tackle spot. That is more than double the next Lobo offensive lineman and is among the worst measures of any guy in the conference. I know where I'm going to be lining up Anthony Smith, but I'm not an elite football mind that Danny Collins would be. So this is one where if you can get pressure on the quarterback, just like with anything, good things are going to happen. And this is a Lobos offense that loves to put the ball on the turf if you give them the opportunity. So the question is going to be, can a rested Minnesota defensive line get after the quarterback, get them into passing situations where Danny Collins can roll out that passing down package where you can do stunts and twists and everything all over? But if Minnesota's defensive line, which is a Senior Bowl motivated Devin Eastern, Anthony Smith, I will be curious if Jalen Logan Redding is playing in this game, considering I just assume he's been playing on one knee since the Northwestern State game where he got cut from behind. We'll see if he's playing, but Carter Menz, Jackson Howard, etc. If Minnesota can dominate up front, I don't know that New Mexico is going to have a ton of success, but if the Gophers are going to show up like they did on the road the entire season, New Mexico is going to also put up a lot of points in this one because they are a competent offense if you allow them to be. I will just state, you need to get multiple takeaways in this game if you're Danny Collins, and to do so, you've got to be really good in your front seven.
All right. Again, going to CFB graphs. One thing that I mentioned a couple of different times, the Gophers really improved their QB. When it's a QB designed run, they improved their EPA. They were really bad. They're now 75th in the country. But I, you know, just to your earlier point, that we know they've struggled with pretty mobile quarterbacks. And even in those situations where you know the quarterback's going to run and you have the extra blocker, that's something the Gophers didn't do particularly well, where they ranked 75th in the country. That's something that I would be looking out for. And I'm glad you brought up the pressure rate of a couple of the individuals, because New Mexico on the season ranks 111th on passing downs in pressure rate. So this could be a decent game for the Gophers on that front. I'm very curious to see if they're able to get home without having to blitz, because we know that a lot of their success in the pass rush department and getting so many of those sacks this year came with blitzes. Very interesting.
The only other note I want to get to before we get into my keys to the game is I mentioned the PFF stuff. And the only thing I do want to note is when you look at New Mexico's cumulative pass blocking grade, okay, again, very arbitrary. I understand that. But just the overall pass blocking grade from their offensive line, the Lobos offensive line, it's going to be the lowest graded offensive line the Gophers have faced since they played Michigan State. And what happened when they played Michigan State, Luke?
I don't have the slightest idea. They lost? Were they at home?
12 tackles for loss and 7 sacks. Now, they gave up hella yards and got very lucky in different instances. But boy, did they create havoc around the quarterback. So the hope would be things follow suit. And if you have another double-digit tackle for loss game, I would imagine that turnovers are also going to start to come back the way that they did at the end of the season.
In my head, I heard you ask what happened to the Lobos game against Michigan State. And I was like,
Maybe I did.
I don't think you did. That's what I heard, though. And I was like, I have no idea. All I know is they beat UCLA. Like, I don't know that they had another Big Ten game. Oh, they had Michigan as well.
They did play Michigan. They played them tough, but they absolutely beat the pants off of UCLA and ended in the Deshaun Foster era out there at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to some facts and some figures?
I suppose.
I think, Ryan, this will be the first meeting between Minnesota and New Mexico, despite both having programs for just decades. Like, this will be a first, and I know you've dubbed this the Richard Pitino game. The irony of this is it'll be played in a neutral site in a baseball stadium that the Gophers have played in recently, which is Chase Field, which is in downtown Phoenix. It is a turf field, and I think it's worth pointing out that the capacity of this stadium is 38,301 for football. It is different for baseball, and I don't particularly care what it is for baseball. This game will be played on December 26th at 3:30 Central. Ryan, didn't this last time the Gophers played in the Rate Bowl, wasn't it like a 10 p.m. start or something silly?
Oh, my God. It was like 10:30 Central. Mm-hmm. And as you're about to note, and I'm going to steal your thunder on it, I will be when I get media day for this bowl game is on Christmas Eve. Welcome to Working in Sports, which is nights, weekends, and holidays. But I am going to find a Rate Bowl official and say,
Can we not,
if it's raining, no matter what you've ordered for skydivers, open the bleeping field up 5 minutes before the game in a downpour to then screw the entire field? Or is that still going to happen? Because I know that from being down there, or when I am going to get down there, I'm pretty sure there's a chance of rain most days that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to go to Phoenix, expect like 80 degrees and sun, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be like 68 and raining the whole time. I know everybody here in the Midwest is feeling bad for me as you get to be in the heat wave, but I'm going to try and get clarification as a good media member on the policies for rain to make sure that the field doesn't look like a slipping, sliding turf.
All right. Let's get to, again, this game is on the 26th. And it's at 3:30. It will be on ESPN with Mike Monaco, Kirk Morrison, and Don Davenport on the TV broadcast. There is a national radio broadcast as well, but I would encourage you, if you're able, to hop on and listen to the local broadcast, which will feature Mike Grimm, Daryl Thompson, Justin Gard, and crew. They have done a fantastic job all season. I've listened to a couple of games on radio and then rewatched them later, and just great job, folks. It's been a pleasure to listen to them as they're able to kind of tell the story and feel like you're in the action, even though you can't actually watch and you're usually looking through a windshield, like I have been the couple of times I have listened to them this year, but they've done a fantastic job. Other things I want to note, Ryan, is that this game opened as a 3-point favorite for Minnesota. It currently, according to DraftKings, is a 2.5-point favorite, with the over under being 43.5. It opened at 49.5, so that has been bet down a fair amount. The other thing that I think we should note, Ryan, and I know how much you love Narrative Street, so I sort of saved this for last in some of our facts, is that this features two teams that were undefeated at home. That's very odd to me. like, we know Minnesota has praised that. This also was an undefeated streak for New Mexico. This is the first time for them since 1962, according to what I could find. I found that very, very interesting. I did ask a large language model, so if that was wrong, when I looked at their schedule, I saw they didn't have a...
Right, that they were undefeated at home.
But the 1962 was from a large language model. The one thing that that New Mexico has over Minnesota is they have won a game away. Minnesota has not won a game away from Huntington Bank Stadium this season. So, weather-wise, we'll just cap with that, it looks, Ryan, that it's going to be a fairly nice weather day for Minnesota standards. But it does look like it's going to be cloudy with the current forecast. We're a little ways out. Looks like the high will be about kickoff at about 70. Well, I guess, I'm sorry, I should go back because I have to adjust for the time. It should be like 69 to 70 degrees. Looks like the precipitation is pretty low. The day before should have been some rain, and the wind should not probably be a factor with about 5 miles an hour from the southwest.
In theory, the roof is going to be closed. In theory, I think that's going to be the stance here. But as we saw 4 years ago, logic doesn't always prevent people from making silly decisions. So we'll find out.
Yeah, it should be fascinating regardless. So what do the Gophers have to do to find victory? And I should say, is this PJ's going for his 8th consecutive bowl win?
I think he's 6-0.
Okay, so 7th.
Yeah, this would be 7 in a row. Yeah. I think so.
So what are they going to have to do to get victory number 7 in a row in a bowl game?
Yeah, the Gophers have won 8 straight bowls, and PJ is 6-0 here.
Okay, thank you.
So to get their 9th straight, offensively, they're going to have to do exactly what they've done the latter part of the season, and that is pass the ball to set up the run. If you believe in this Gopher offensive line that has a month to get their bodies right, to go against a smaller, quicker defensive line in front 7 in a Mountain West team in the New Mexico Lobos, sure. But they're the worst running offense in the Big Ten, facing the best run defense in the Mountain West. So I just don't think that Greg Harbaugh is going to look at that and say, you know what, this is going to be the game where I'm going to let Fleck get to me. We're going to run the ball 45 times. And RTB doesn't stand for just row the boat. It stands for run the ball. Now, multiple things can be true here. Where I mentioned earlier that Darius Taylor has gone nuclear in the last 2 bowl games, averaging north of 30 touches per game. Now, note that I said touch and not rushes, because I do expect the Gophers to try and use him in part in the short passing game, maybe even out wide, to try and be an extension of the run game, put the ball in the best player on the field's hands. And I'm very curious to see what a healthy Darius Taylor looks like against Mountain West athletes. Now, I would hope that the Minnesota Moving Company was challenged up front in a way that they haven't been all year during bowl prep, because I'll be the first to tell you that group needs a fire lit under their katukas. Now, I don't know if your grandmother used to use the word katukas, but my Scandinavian one, or the other one of Irish blood, certainly used that a time or two. You need to end the season with a bang, go for offensive line, and now you get to face a non-Big Ten defensive front. We've seen how previously in bowls of yesteryear they've worn down the Virginia Techs or the Syracuses of the world. Let's see if that happens here in Phoenix. But most importantly, you got to protect Drake Lindsey from Jackson Eck and Keyshawn James Newby. Those are the non-negotiables, because opposing FBS quarterbacks against the Lobos defense are completing north of 68% of their throws, 16 touchdowns, over 230 yards per game. Even with a depleted pass-catching core, I do expect the Gophers to throw the ball 30-plus times. I think that's the way I would take it. If you do end up running the ball and find success, great, stick to it. But if you don't, like you haven't been able to do for 90% of the season, I think Drake Lindsey's going to chuck this thing around. Now, defensively, you got to get takeaways. And that's been a theory for the Gopher defense on the road, where they only have 2 takeaways in 5 road games this year. They have been bad on the road. They've turned opposing quarterbacks on the road into Heisman Trophy winners, where, just to remind everybody, I'm not speaking in hyperbole there. Opposing quarterbacks against the Gophers away from Minnesota are completing 76% of their passes with 11 passing touchdowns and no picks. Like, they just turn into the reincarnation of any Heisman Trophy winner of yesteryear. So the thing is going to be, as I touched on throughout this podcast, what does a Mountain West offensive line that has not been particularly great this year look like against a Big Ten defensive line? If Anthony Smith, Devin Eastern, and company can create havoc around Jack Lane, as we've seen, New Mexico will put the ball in harm's way. But if you allow them to protect him It's going to be a tightly contested game. Win in the trenches and the turnovers will come. And then finally, I think I've said this now for I don't know how many straight bowl previews. You just have to show up, because so many of bowl games revolves around who's playing and who wants to be there. Now, both teams have significant pieces playing in this game, the way I understand it. And the other narrative here that I've waited so long to drop in here towards the end, Luke, is probably my favorite narrative from this game. And it's all around the New Mexico head coach, Jason Eck. Why does he matter here? Well, the New Mexico coach was born in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and then he played his college football at this school in Madison. It is literally in his blood to not care for the Golden Gophers. That's just personal. I'm sure that he really doesn't care for them. Well, if you want to add in the professional capacity, that Jason Eck is probably the successor, or at least on a very short list to be the successor potentially for Luke Fickell, where if the Badgers have another poor season in 2026, I think a win on the resume already over the Golden Gophers would look awfully nice for Chris McIntosh and company. Now, Minnesota 6-0 in bowl games under Fleck. They've won 8 straight. Fleck knows how to get his teams to prepare and show up for these games, but I think you're going to see what both teams' best efforts look like, where I think Jason Eck knows this is an important game for him individually, professionally, and I think that the Minnesota staff knows that as well. So I think you're going to see two teams who really given us play this game the day after Christmas.
All right. So I'll remind people that the current lines for this game, as set by DraftKings, are Gophers favored by 2.5 points with the over-under of 43.5. Ryan, on the season, I want to give you some credit. I think you really did well. I think you did the people correctly if they were taking your advice, especially as they bet the spread, right? You were 9-2 against the spread. You were 9-3 overall straight up picking games. And you were 6-5 on the over under. I didn't do the people much of a solid at all. I was 5-6 for both against the spread and the over under. So I'm going to give you the honors. You can go first. This way people know that you're not just copying me, because that would be stupid anyway. So what do you think the outcome of this game will be?
I have two final notes before we get into it. Special teams wise, New Mexico has a first team Mountain West returner, and I think it's Damon Bankston. I don't anticipate Minnesota kicking him the football much, considering they have the second highest touchback percentage in the Big Ten. I would tell Bob Ligachevsky that's not wise to not kick everything out of the back of the end zone or have all Big Ten punter Tom Weston. Let me just say here, as I take my victory lap, for those of you who listen to a preseason episode where we did the all Big Ten honors draft, Luke, can we get an update there here briefly? Who won that this year? I'm very unclear.
Yeah. Congratulations. I'm proud to announce that you are now in an all-time tie with me in total points, and you won the 2025 season. Congratulations,
now,
Ryan.
Now, the head is heavy for those who wear the crown, and I don't take this lightly. I want to thank all the people that got me here, specifically the Spotify comment listeners. Thank you so much for guiding me to my victory. But when you look at Bob Ligachevsky in the special teams unit, man, I wouldn't have Tom Weston kick to him. I'd tell Brady Denenberg to throw this thing out of the back of the end zone every time. I'd also note, in what is projected to be a very close game, for the second straight year, your Golden Gopher kicking special teams tied for the most amount of missed field goals in the Big Ten, while New Mexico's kicker has only missed one field goal all season long. Something to note as you look into this. Now, where I'm at here is I think I've let the last few weeks influenced me maybe more than I should have, where I've seen group of five teams versus Big Ten teams or just power four teams, and it hasn't gone well. The Washington Boise State game was overwhelming. The James Madison Oregon game was overwhelming. Tulane Ole Miss, we've seen how that went. And I think New Mexico is a good Mountain West team, and I have a lot of respect for them. I think Jason Eck is going to be a Big Ten head coach very, very soon. I just think that by the second half, and especially into the fourth quarter, I think the best players for Minnesota, Darius Taylor, Anthony Smith, Devin Eastern and company, are going to wear down a Mountain West front. And I think the Gophers behind a late Darius Taylor touchdown. And then the boy wonder from Esko, because Minnesota is going to be sending blitzes, sending pressures. I think the boy wonder from Esko, Coy Parrish, ends the game with a heave into the end zone. And he's the one that comes down with it. I don't see this the same way that Vegas does, where the total for this game has come down 5 points from when it opened.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of points scored in this one. I think Minnesota wins 28-23. That would be an over and a Gopher cover.
All right. I think that's very fair. I do think that, you know, Minnesota has that history of, and PJ Fleck has that history of winning, winning these bowl games. And I'm very curious. I do think that New Mexico, I think that they, in some way, they have, it's kind of a prove it game for them. It's a chance to validate, you know, this turnaround season against another Big Ten team. They'll have, instead of going 1-1 against the Big Ten, they'll have gone 2-1. In the end, I think that the time and preparation for Minnesota maybe is just a bit much. I, like you, was actually thinking that this 43.5 felt a little low, and I was surprised it got bet down. And you know, there's no reason to kind of throw out the entire kitchen sink at New Mexico and vice versa at the Gophers. And so I think we'll see maybe a slow start, but ultimately that the scoring picks up. I actually had this one 31-24. I will take a Minnesota cover and an over as well. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, we're like 7 points over. You're 10 points over.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Vegas has a lot of different beautiful things out there, and it's from taking money from schmucks like us. I would just tell you, I think Minnesota's offense is going to end up scoring more points than you think. I also think Minnesota's defense is very susceptible to the big play on the road. Now, they can also take the ball away a time or two. We'll find out. But it's fascinating how far over the over we are on this.
For sure. All right. I think that'll do it for this preview. We'll come back and break it down. When we do the breakdown, I'm not entirely sure. That's often fluid. But I think we...
Especially around the holidays.
Yeah, especially around the holidays and travel and all these sorts of things. But we'll do our best to get it out as quickly as possible. I think Derek will be able to join us. Maybe we'll talk about the state of NIL and where things are at with that. But yeah, it's been a really fun season. It's been fun to preview these games. We want to thank everyone for listening. We want to thank our sponsors and those that make it possible. Support those who support us. Again, have a great holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. Enjoy the new year and go Gophers.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.